Blog Talk Radio.
I'm live in Blog Talk. Before I do that, let's play a little bit of Jacob's Crying. And keep in mind, brothers and sisters, you all can join the Hebrew and Bible Academy. You need to come in because your support helps what we need to do. And on top of that, you get information unfiltered that you cannot get anyplace else on earth. And I mean, it's constructed in a package that you cannot get nowhere else, where you can get Hebrew news as well as the literature, the history behind the literature, that a lot of tedious work have been put in to make sure these PDFs are good for you, that you can actually build on your learning acumen when it comes to this Bible. There's nothing like it on earth, brothers and sisters. It's one thing to be like these other guys out there and just write a book and put it on the shelves and say, buy a book. It's another thing breaking it down in topics and chapters and us teaching real time the doctrine and the history with those who have constructed it through the Spirit of the Almighty. We could have easily, you know how many lessons we have that we could have put in books? But nah, it's not the same. We'd rather interact. And if you have a question concerning that, you can look at a book and you have to wait for another volume for something to be corrected. But if we're right there teaching it to you, you have a question and say, Elder, I don't understand this. Boom, it can be answered real time right after the lesson. The Hebrew and Bible Academy, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you this, there's nothing like what we do in the Academy in the earth at all, constructed the way it is. Okay? And I would like you all to be a part of it. Go to historytimes.org and get in the next installment, which starts in about a month. We want to see you there with the creation of the universe. Jacob Cry. Come on, Jacob. The Most High, hear you calling. Come on.
Can you see?
Jacob Rising. Come on. Trouble's brewing. We need to stop what we're doing. Promises are waiting. Call on the higher.
I can see him crying.
They can't stop us. The Most High, Jacob would rise. Trouble's brewing. Stop it. Call on the Most High.
No. Mm-hmm.
That's right, Jacob. You notice when the cold happened, it all settled in the places that we reside. We became the people who were disproportionately affected, and therefore it pushed us in the front of the line for that crap. The trouble, I mean, this is Jacob's trouble, folks. We're being targeted. Wake up. Hebrew Harris has a comment.
Shalom. Shalom, Elder.
Shalom. Let me see. You're pretty low. Is your phone okay?
Yes, sir. I'm on full volume.
Okay, your phone is better now. Speak closer to your microphone, unless you have me on some type of speaker or something.
Okay, no, I'll try to put it on speaker one. How is
no,
that?
No, that's better. Go on.
Okay, yes. Shalom. I want to say a big the water to you and Elder Lawyer. You know, there's a lot of different Israelite groups out there, and, you know, kudos to whatever they have going on. But this GOCC ministry, there's certain Judah men out there, like myself, who you can't tell us. Certain men out there, you can't tell them anything, and they go for it. Some of us need proof, and we don't take to anything. This GOCC ministry is exactly what I needed. Because them other Israelite groups out there, that wouldn't have worked for me. The teachings, the how they're denying Christ and the profane language, and that wouldn't have brought me to Christ. This GOCC ministry is exactly what Judah needs. It is a blessing. It is absolute blessing to have elders with such morals, with respect, who are being so obedient to the Father to where he can bestow wisdom upon them to where they can teach us. You have done such a major work. You and Elder Lawyer, y'all have done such a major work for the nation of Israel, Gentiles alike, for the heavens. It is an absolute honor to call you our elders and to have this GOCC ministry raise the dry bones out of the valley. It is an honor to hearken to your wisdom, to have you show how our lives have been, and we have been so messed up as a people. And Satan has done a really good job at deceiving us, because before you come into this truth, we're operating like as if there's not even a problem. We're in agreement with the captivity. We support the captivity. We welcome it. But with this teaching and this understanding, and how the heavens are using you two shepherds to awaken the sheep, it's actually showing how destroyed as a people we are. So to all my brothers and sisters who are in this live broadcast, please like and share this wisdom, because it is in dire times right now, and Judah needs to awaken. Judah needs to stand up so we can awaken our brothers and sisters. But the water, Elder, you and Elder Lawyer, for your diligent work in this truth. I go back and I love those. Oldie Goldie lessons where you and Elder Lawyer are in a small room in a house where I can tell y'all just started and with nothing. I see lessons where you say where y'all had a stack of potatoes. You didn't even know where rent was coming from. You were going to be kicked out the next day, and a guy tells you, hey, I got a check for you. It was just enough to pay the rent and to get a week's worth of the groceries. That right there, all of that paid off to right now. Y'all were building in the spiritual realm. It wasn't, y'all were building the physical world, but y'all were building the spiritual realm. And right now, y'all are doing work, and it has awakened us. And I appreciate you. I love y'all, man. I truly love y'all, Elder. But the water for your diligent work, man. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Shalom. And see, in his words like that of encouragement, I mean, I thank the Most High because there's a lot of negative stuff out there, but when you hear stuff like that, you know, the work isn't in vain. And right on time, where's the other lawyer? Right on time with a lot of what we were talking about, I said a long time ago that, man, it would be a great thing if Israelites could come together. But every time I make a statement like that, something comes across my desk to confirm how bad an idea that is. It's impossible to get together with other Israelites. It's impossible. I mean, first of all, because it's Christ who unite one another. He unite. He gather his elect to his elect. And he says that you cannot cast your pearls before swine, lest you be rent underfoot. Every time I think about, you know what, it probably would be good to have a meeting and have everyone all come together and just hash something out. But there's nothing to hash out. The doctrine is clear, concise, and simple. But you have people out there who refuse to follow it. And the only thing you can do is bring some people in a room that would cause chaos to where an individual might get harmed or even worse. And I'm going to tell you this right now because you don't know what's on people's minds. There's a video that came out when it came to the Will and Jada thing where a brother was outright at a class saying that Chris Rock needs to go to Will Smith's house and sleep with Will Smith's wife. Okay? And when I seen that, I'm like, see, this is the stuff out there that the enemy will utilize and say, check out Israelites' doctrine and what they really believe. That can be a stumbling block to those who really in good faith would like to understand what the awakening truly is. But you will have stuff out there. Like what happened to Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery? Where he'll say right there, I'm talking about one of these so-called leaders are saying it's okay for Chris Rock to sleep with Will Smith's wife as payback and vengeance, and Christ want him to take vengeance. When I seen that, I looked at and I'm like, you know what? It's confirmed. If you'll say this publicly, what would happen if we were all in one room together to discuss and to put something on the table concerning coming together in some facet? When your mind is wired that way, okay? So if you can say this in public, that it's okay to commit adultery with somebody else's wife and commit and seek vengeance on your own brother, what will you say in private? What are you saying in private? So it confirms when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, no. Me thinking that Christ says you can't cast your pearls before swine. You can't align yourself. Two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. There's a path. Christ didn't go out seeking people, Pharisees and scribes, to sit down on some kumbaya, let's hash things out according to doctrine and come to a consensus. That didn't exist. He was teaching a doctrine, and those who seen that he was prophesied to bring forth that doctrine were able to look inwardly and examine themselves and examine their sins to know that, okay, I'm a sinner against the law of Moses. And the only way that I can be accepted into Christ's kingdom is to confess my faults, lay down my sin, repent, and follow the narrow path that Christ paved for us. Okay? And that's what it's all about. So all this sitting down and one everybody in the room, you talking about chaos, you don't know what would happen if something like that would happen. No, thank you. Okay? We're here to teach the doctrine of Christ. It's out there. And if people continue in their ways, listen, without taking heed to the gospels of Christ, I don't care what Israelite group you're from. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You are destined for hell according to the Most High's word. And whether you believe in hell or not has no consequence. You're going there. Next call, we have Jamal. Jamel has a comment. I'm sorry, Jamel.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom.
I'm gonna be very quick. I just wanted to first of all give thanks to Ahaya the Father, and also give a humble the water to you and Elder Lawyer, just because of what you're doing. Just to kind of go off what the last brother said, man. You guys are doing you elders are doing amazing work right now, man. Like, I look out, and I'm not here to talk about any other, you know, camp or body or group or whatever you want to call it, but I look out at some of the other ones when I first came into truth, and it's almost like they became Christians within themselves. They're only hitting the surface level of everything, and they're not really digging any scriptures or even following the true doctrine of Christ. And I just praise Ahaya for allowing us to receive the wisdom from you elders. But to quickly say, I just had two comments. This lesson is so timely because I was with some of the brothers last week after Shabbat. We went to the park real quick just to, you know, just to hang out with each other, go over scriptures, things of that nature. And
okay.
Some brother walks over to us and he sees the fringes. And he says, Shalom. And we like, whoa, Shalom. And he's like, yeah, man, I just moved here from Atlanta. I came from a different camp, and y'all the first Hebrews I've seen, and this is amazing. I just moved here to SDL, and I just felt like that was such an amazing moment right there, just seeing the brothers coming to the truth, that we truly are awakening up to this truth, and it was such a beautiful moment. And then another moment, my neighbor. I usually, when it feels good outside, sometimes I sit on my back patio and just study. So I'm studying, and she sees me study all the time, so... One time, she always says, praise God, every time she sees me. But one time she stops me. She said, I want to tell you something. When I see you, I see, and I'm not saying you specifically. This is her word. She said, I'm not saying you specifically, but when I see you and your people, I see the face of the Messiah. I see Jesus is what she said. And that amazed me because it's confirming that the people are truly coming to realize who we are on the earth and that these scriptures and these prophecies are truly coming true. And I just got to give praise to Ahaya for this, man, because I can't imagine any other thing in life but this truth. So I thank you, elders, because you guys, like the last brother said, you guys are doing amazing work. We thank you. I think everybody can say that. We truly thank you. And we see the Most High moving through both of you. So the water, all praises.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. And getting it right on point, the messaging on God's people has to be changed, because the enemy would like to paint us as druggies, drug heads, drug dealers, murderers, of people who really could care less about family, traditional values. They're trying to tie everything evil to us, and it's upon our people as Judah to push back with how we live, to state, guess what? The narrative that you've shaped for Judah isn't us. We're about family. We're about morality. We're about keeping family together. Okay? And this is, and guess what? The trend starts when we begin to show forth an example. Even though the media would never promote that faction of our community, it's upon us to begin to push back and let people know who Judah truly is, who we really are as a people. Joshua 404 area code Joshua has a question.
Yes. How are you doing?
I'm blessed by the best, and of course his name is Ahaya.
That's right. That's right. Shalom. I spent a lot of my life rejecting the Most High as a kid, and then kind of like as I became an adult, I kind of developed like an on and off relationship with them. And I know the on and off was me because, you know, the Most High, he never wavers, you know? But one of my best friends, he put me on to, one of the Lost Tribes of Israel videos by you. It's pretty old. It was really, really, really old.
The 12 Lost Tribes Found.
Yeah. I love that video. And I ended up going kind of down a rabbit hole, and I watched a lot of your lessons. And to me, you connect a lot of dots for me. You know what I mean? Like a lot of questions. My place in the Bible, like I didn't know. You know what I mean? And watching your videos, it just kind of brought me like just like pure joy. You know, like Yeshaya, yeah. he saved my life, man. I was in Oakland. I was in the trenches. Like I was in the hood. And I was in a real dangerous neighborhood, and I could have died a couple of times out there. And he just saved my life. And this is before I came to the truth. Like my friend, he sent me the Lost Tribes of Israel video on Super Bowl Sunday, like this past February, and I didn't even watch it until 4 days later. And it's like once I did, I was so thankful. My mom told me I was chosen, and I never really believed it. I never understood, but I just feel that the Most High brought me to you all. He brought me to your teachings. I'm in Atlanta. I'm not a part of the body yet, but I'm gonna send you guys an email soon, and I'm gonna join you all. And I also want to get baptized at 29 years old. But yeah, so my question is, I'm sorry about that. I kind of went on a tangent. My question is, would you ever entertain the idea of sitting down with Elder Lawyer? By the way, hey, Elder Lawyer, how you doing, sir? I just wanted to know if you would ever sit down with Elder Lawyer, read the Bible, and kind of, like, do a breakdown. Because when you and Elder Lawyer, you know, like, go into the Bible, when y'all dissect, like, it just, I don't know. It's like y'all do y'all own amplified version, but it's also in the King James form, you know? Like, you kind of make it just easy to understand. I know you say in the clip that the Bible's not hard to understand, and it's not, but you got a lot more years on me and a lot of other people with it. So I just wanted to know if you would ever sit down with Elder Lawyer, you know, he read the Bible, and you kind of break down what each part means. Like, I mean, Genesis to Revelation. I know that sounds like a lot, but it would really help me out, like, a whole lot.
Well, we'll consider that. Are you in the academy?
No, I'm going to join soon. I got to get back on my feet. But I'm going to join. I know it's, what, 150? That's not that bad. I'll be able to join by
the time. Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, it's a month from now. I mean, it's about 3 weeks from now. It's $75 for 1 month and $75 for another month. We've never increased it. It's $150 for the 3 month course. And I believe everything you're asking for and more is in the academy, because what the academy does, it builds a foundation so that no matter what chapter you look at now, you understand its true narrative. You understand the construct or the scope of how you should view the chapters. But what I'm going into in the academy is this coming academy, instead of dealing with the split between Israel and Judah, I'm going to segue that to the kings of Israel. So now we can look into the history of the good kings, the bad kings, and how our people fell, so you can understand how close we are in behavior and how we think as a people till this day. It's really how we were operating as kings under the Most High that led to our fall. And when you look at it from that perspective, you'll know that those people could not have been any other people than us. How we made decisions and, you know, in key moments, how we sometimes did the right thing, but then end up whatever. But I don't want to go into full detail about it, but we're going to go over the kings of Judah that will give you a scope historically concerning our behavior. Even when we're in high position with the Almighty, how even, you know, how we just disobey in key instances that led to all of our people paying the price for it.
I'm saying, every day I gotta constantly fight my flesh.
But what we don't understand as a nation, especially as men, this is why they try to phase the black man out altogether in the optics of society, is the fact that there's a domino effect, positively or negative, when it comes to Judah. Right? So I mean, it's just, there's a domino effect. It's seriously, a serious negative domino effect happened with our kings. And it affected the nations. It affected the family. It affected the babies. And it was all because of a selfish king. And we're going to be going over that and more in the academy. So get in the academy, brother. I think it's going to cover a lot of what you're asking for. But I'm still going to consider what you're talking about as far as going into each part of the Bible and breaking it down with lawyer. The other thing, it usually intrigues me when people talk about the 12 lost tribes found, because I know there was a spirit on that particular lesson. That's why I didn't even try to actually update it or duplicate it, because the spirit was there on that particular lesson. But you said when you heard the lesson, it made you smile. What in particular you can highlight that resonated with you? What was that feeling when you seen that particular video, the 12 lost tribes found? If you can quantify that in 30 seconds, if you may, if you can.
Okay. Okay. So, like, when I go out, people are always staring at me. Like, I know I'm big, and people ask me if I play football and all that. People tell me I should be in the NFL and all that. But it's something deeper than that, man. People are always staring at me everywhere I go. And, I'm trying to not respond with anger. And when I listen to the lesson, it just made me realize, like, I'm chosen. I come from the bloodline of Yeshaya. I come from a highest chosen people. Like, he chose me to be his tribe. And it just made me happy, like, because my whole life, like, man, when I was a kid, I asked my mom, is Jesus black or white? I was a kid. Like, I probably wasn't even in elementary school yet. And she told me, or she asked me, does it matter? You know, stuff like that kind of turns you away or makes you, kind of question things. And it doesn't matter if he's white or not, but I just wanted to know. You know, it was a couple of questions that I had when I was a kid that I couldn't get answered, but you've answered a lot of them.
Yeah, but we got to fix that, though. We have to fix that lie out there, that response. It does matter. We need to fix that response.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because if it didn't matter.
Exactly. Exactly.
If it didn't matter, then they wouldn't put the white guy that we all see now, because they wouldn't have never deviated from the truth, right? It does matter.
Exactly. So they have taught our mothers and our parents to retort that lie, that dismissive, to bring that dismissive statement as if you're racist, if you can actually, you're racist by stating truth.
Yes, sir, you're right.
I'm not racist. I'm not divisive. It does matter. You know when it mattered? When they put up a white guy to be Christ. If it didn't matter, they would have left it with the Bible. They would have kept it with the Bible and just let people find Christ in the Bible and make their own decisions. It had to matter if they would put up a false image, a man that's known in history as a thief and an evildoer, this Spaniard by the name of Cesare Borgia, the second son of Alexander the Sixth, Pope of Rome, an Edomite, the triptych of poisonous. This man was known in history. He was infamous in history as an evildoer. And they could have put up any man, any white man if they wanted to, which would have been false, but why put up an evil man to be Christ if the devil isn't behind this?
Exactly, so, man. They want us to praise. Man,
there you go.
So
we have to push back and stop letting them dismiss us. But when it comes to their causes, when it comes to what happened to them over in Germany, we can't tell them that didn't matter what happened with them. So we have to stop letting them dismiss us when it comes to the history of our people, and especially to the history of our Lord and Savior. What you mean it doesn't matter? So who's this white guy? Who's this clown we're looking at right here? It does matter, because why? When our children see him, he sees a Savior. And that subconsciously affects him in the workplace, in society, to look at another race of people as Savior and to look at his own father as less than that because he's a black man. It does matter. Thank you for call for your call, brother. Don't make me fired up up here. All right, bless you. DeShane.
Bless you. Thank you for your time.
Bless you, brother. And guess what? I got your number, Josh. I'll give you a call. We're going to see what we can do about getting you into this academy. Okay? And, yes, I have my stickies now, so I'm not going to lose anything anymore. Joshua. Okay. Atlanta. Come on. It does. And guess what? You know what? Because why? Our mothers are non-confrontational, caring, and they want us to grow up with a non-biased view of the earth. But it puts our children at a disadvantage because no other race of people are looking in this earth from a non-biased view. It's us who want to raise our children kumbaya and all this other garbage. Well, it doesn't matter. Jesus is of all colors. That's a lie. It does matter. Because if he was a black man, then where is his people? Okay. Where is his people? They want to go into George Floyd and everything else. Guess who was lynched by the European powers? A black man by the name of Christ. So it does matter. Sister Eliza.
Hello, Elder.
How you doing? You know how I'm doing? Judah's rising. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling good.
100%.
Yeah.
I wanted to comment just real quick. You are 100% correct on what the enemy has been trying to do. And it reminds me of a story back in the book of Judith in the Apocrypha, chapter 5, talking about the chief captain of the Sir Hophanies, and he had a guy that's under him. I'm not quite sure exactly what he was. I guess he was captain of all the sons of Ammon. He was describing to Hophanies our people and where we came from, and he broke it all the way down to us coming from Abraham. And okay. I hear that so much. Whenever you speak on them studying us and they know who we really are, that particular story hits me every time that I hear that.
Yeah. I just hate the fact that when people are in public, especially the other nations, that they try to play dumb. As if there's a code that when it comes time to put this out publicly, I'm thinking of the other nations, that they have to talk about Ethiopia or try to misdirect the conversation outside of our people being the direct descendants of Israelites. And that's the piece I don't like when it comes to the other nations, when it comes to these Christian historians and their theologians. They know we're Israelites. I've even spoke to a rabbi, sister. I've spoken to a rabbi in between commercials during a discourse or a build in the UK. And he said straight out he knew that the blacks in America were Israelites, a Jewish rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
But sister, soon as God just said it's time to go back on air, he started to play stupid or try to play ignorant. Oh, it could be here. It could be there. You could be, but... why can't you accept me? And I'm like, man, these people. So the whole world knows. I mean, it's documented. But there's some type of code they have amongst each other that when it's public, they cannot say it outright without losing their status or position that was given to them.
And
they
can
say whatever. Yeah, they can say whatever they want to say privately. Yeah. And you can imagine, because listen, I wear my heart on my sleeve and I'm about, listen, this is what it is, right? And you can imagine me sitting there looking at this guy after he admitted that the blacks were Israelites. And I'm sitting there looking at this guy and he's trying to act as if he didn't say that between commercial breaks. You know, I'm like, how disingenuous and how evil you must be. Because y'all have the power with media and all of your technology to say you know who we are. And it doesn't cost you anything to say the truth. We'll find our way from there. And I'm like, why can't you just tell the people what you told me? And next thing you know, I'm looking at his cell phone. I don't know who's calling him. You know what I mean? He's talking about he got to pick his kids up when he said he had all night. I'm going to tell you, folks, let me tell you, us knowing we Israelites changes economies. They know it switches up everything. They know it. So I'm just saying, sister, yeah, they know it. As soon as it talks about Israelites, a lot of them want to go. You notice they're on code because I'm talking about, I know I switched it to something else. You know it's on code because when Christians talk about blacks in the Bible, they cannot do it unless they bring in Ethiopia. It's like there's this code they have that they must shoehorn in Ethiopia if they're going to speak about blacks or prominent blacks in the Bible. Because they know Ethiopia isn't from the seed of Shem. So they try to throw us a bone by saying, yeah, Moses married an Ethiopian. Nah, it don't have nothing to do with Moses. We're from the bloodline of the prophets, including Moses. Who cares about who he was married to? Let's talk about Moses. He was a Shemite. They try to shoehorn us in with an Ethiopian to say, well, okay, you can have her, but we got Moses. Thank you, sister.
Oh, one other thing, Elder. I wanted to let you know. Did you receive those purple shirts that...
I have them right here.
Okay.
I have them right here. I have them right there, the purple shirts. Thank you. Oh, you sent those?
Yes, sir, I did.
Let me see. I have them right. Yeah, they're right over there. I got them right there, sister.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. I had to guess at your size, so hopefully those will fit you guys well.
So you sent, I really appreciate it. Thank you, sister. And how many you sent? You sent four separate ones?
No, I sent two, one for you and one for Elder Lawyer.
Okay. They're the purple with gold writing, correct?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, Lawyer, I'll make sure you get yours when I see you this Sabbath, okay, Lawyer?
Yes, sir.
And I'm from the Columbus body as well.
Well, thank you, sister. And you'll see me. I'll be sporting one of your shirts soon. Of course, a brother sent me this from Yesha'Allah, Arise Israel. You know what I mean? And when I seen the shirt, I'm like, you know what? The Judah rising. We're going to talk about that tonight. Thank you, sister. I really appreciate you.
I'll be waiting for you to wear that shirt too as well.
I'll be wearing it. And, you know, I'm gonna shout you out, Sister Eliza, all right?
I appreciate it.
Judah rising. And listen, our Judites are waking up too now. All right, 832 area code. The daughters of Zion are waking up. 832. Judah has a question. Shalom.
Shalom, Elder. Excellent class. I'm calling because I would like I need your opinion on the issue, unbiased opinion. And so fairly new in the truth. Went to a couple camps in my area, and it's not working. The scriptures say, try the spirit by the spirit. This particular experience, I noticed, I'm like, dang, I'm noticing a respecter of persons' spirit, meaning you can correct the little one, but when the little one come with an issue, you just reject it. And I'm like, dang, you know, I'm confused now. I'm like, hold up. You know, it don't feel like brotherly love. So I also want to, if you can comment on that, and also I want to ask you, like, if you watch and gather online, is that still keeping the Sabbath day holy? Because I know the scriptures say you don't want to be tossed to and fro, but I went to a couple camps, and it just ain't working. So I feel like my last resort is to gather online with the brothers and sisters. If you can comment on that, Elder, I appreciate it. Shalom.
Okay, I want you to stay on because I'm glad you brought this out. Now, I can only give my personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between honoring and respecting elders and respecting persons. you have to realize, I'm not going to say, you don't have to tell me in particular what group you were a part of, but I grew up from Israeli School of UPK until there was a split that happened that led to the Israeli Church of UPK. I think Yohana picked that up and restructured that, and now he's the School of UPK again, or whatever the case is, trying to raise that stuff up that was back there. But this is what I've noticed, okay? There's a difference between honoring someone and a respected person. This is what I've noticed when I grew up under that. I can respect the fact that I learned the law, knew I was an Israelite, I knew the history, the obedience that comes with what? Order. It's second to none, all right? But the fact, what I don't like in the respect of persons is where you have to honor men to a degree where it's above your own family. And then that's not right. And I grew up realizing that I was high up in it. And I would always tell a brother, listen, you shouldn't be up here, you know, go deal with your family, man. Why lose your family because of what this guy's talking about? Okay? The other thing I didn't like is that, you know, it was a respect of persons when it came to the ranking thing and all that. Right? And it was a lot of politics.
Mm-hmm.
It was about politics, and it was about man-pleasing and not about instilling the Spirit of Christ. And these are the things, even when I grew through that, I grew to full age and understand, I can respect and honor the understanding that I've received, and I always respect and honor that, but I will never honor and respect or give any credence at all to respect a person. Man-pleasing. Where you will do something to self-grandize yourself to someone so that you can get a position. The weasel mentality can actually ferment in that type of environment where a weasel can move his way through just because they're brown-nosing. The politics, and that's why I don't deal with brown-nosing or none of that crap. No. As you can see, everybody in this church have their own spirit. Okay, and it's about operating on your own merit without trying to throw someone else under the bus so you can get positioned in politics. And that's why I don't deal with that captain general and all that other crap, because Christ gave the position it to his disciples, the elders, the bishops, the deacons, the positions that was appointed through disciples, so that the politics cannot trump the gospel. And I'm going to be dealing with that in more week 10. You have to hear about it. And I went through the experience, not to say it was all bad. But if you don't establish something as Christ, according to how Christ established it, it opens to man, it ferments the spirit of man-pleasing, brown-nosing, politics, when it should be the gospel positions established as the apostles established it. And I'm going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks, okay?
Oh, praise Zelda. And I add one more thing, and I really appreciate you expounding upon that, because everything you just said, without knowing any details, when I tell you that's exactly what I'm going through, brother, you hit the nail on the head. I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't tripping, for lack of a better word, so I had to reach out, you know, call in. But right now, I feel like I'm being alienated because I challenged the captain on a particular issue, and not out of pride or ego, but just out of clarity and saying, look, none of us are above reproach. And then because of that, I feel like I'm being blackballed. They not saying it, but the actions, I'm like, dang. And I'm like, actions speak loud in words.
Uh-huh. Well, brother, all I got to say is, even when it comes to that, I don't believe anyone should be pushed in a position where they have to defend their position before others, right? So,
okay.
In that instance, I don't believe you probably should have challenged that brother in front of others when he have a position to uphold, understanding how the pecking order.
Excuse me, Elder. It was through via text message, but he showed.
No.
I believe he showed the other captains and it went down here.
No. I'm saying, but listen to me. Not even through text message, and that's why I hate this text stuff. The Most High says, when you got a problem with a brother, you go to him face to face, him and you alone. And if he have heard you, you have gained a brother. See, that's why I don't like this technology stuff, because no matter what group he is or whatever the case is, the whole thing is you have to give him an opportunity to clear himself up without having to defend his position. And that can only happen one-on-one as a brother.
Okay.
Where because now he has to show forth his captain position being challenged like that. But if you get to him one-on-one, it's just a man with another man.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm just
saying. That's it. I got you, Adam.
So what you need to do is text the brother and say you shouldn't have texted him that. Anything you had to say to him, that you would have been happy to just speak to him one-on-one. And if you were wrong, you would stand corrected.
Absolutely.
And I'm saying that even if this brother is with another group, he still is due the respect of a brother who you know is in Christ, or if you believe in Christ, you still are to deal with him accordingly, regardless of the group he's a part of. Right?
All right.
Okay?
Gotcha. All right, Dawad, I appreciate it.
My brother Judah. There you go.
All right. Shalom.
All right, shalom. All right, we have Bamba Waf. Bamba Waf has a comment. Let's see. Bamba Waf has a comment. Bamba Waf. And we will be breaking
this
down early tonight, because I haven't eaten and I have to eat, so I'm going to be breaking down early tonight. Judah's rising. Bamba Waf, you're live. You have a comment?
Yes, how you doing, Elder? Shalom to you, Elder Lawyer, and Elder Ramar. Hello?
What'd you say?
Can you?
Shalom. Talk to me.
Shalom. All right. I just got a quick comment about reparations.
Yeah.
I know at first from that 1619 project, it was kind of promising that the Democratic Party was going to get behind this thing and make the case for reparations, but shortly after, when they dubbed it a critical race theory, you know, it's like I feel like whitewashing was in the works, because instead of linking the current social, economic, and judicial gaps between the descendants of slaves and descendants of slave owners based on stuff that actually happened in history, we gave ground now. Oh, this is a theory. And when you look at the headlines today, there's a lot of states behind critical race theory. They are passing laws targeting books. On the surface, it's for those books out there programming young kids about their gender. But I think what they're really books that factually point to all those instances in the past that have resulted in our status quo today. So your comments today is right online. I don't think in many cases, especially now, they're kind of like drawing left-right limits on who's going to get reparations, knowing that all of our records, most of us can't track our history past our grandparents because they destroyed our records. And I think they're setting the path now to whereas we would have to prove who we are when they know we can't. And that's my comment. I appreciate you and
believe it or not to say that I'm for or against it, because I don't know what they'll do, because I know that this is a political football they're putting on the table, strictly to get our people to bait us back into the electoral process. Right. Because if they were going to give us anything, when they gave that $60 million in right to the for Asian hate a few months after Biden was voted in, they would have did it then when Asians didn't put Biden in office. Our people did. Judah did. So
right.
because it's clear that Kamala and Biden are sinking in the polls, they're just dangling out there as a carrot to say that they're going to give us something and talk reparations, right? But at the end of the day,
sir.
Critical race theory is a bunch of garbage that should be tore up and burned and not taught in any schools, black or white. All right? It's utterly ridiculous. And reasons that I cannot discuss, I'll probably deal with it in another. It's another political trick, all right, to try to erase true history. What's wrong with history the way it's being taught now? To try to make white people feel guilty, and it still feed into that black-white paradigm to teach black people that slavery and the ills of slavery really didn't happen the way it was publicized, right? So let's take that off the table. Let's just talk about reparations in particular. It's not hard if we wanted to. It's not hard if we wanted to trace our lineage, and we don't need. And it doesn't take any of these 23andMe and all these other garbage DNA tests that are just useless, okay? There's ledges. They have ledges since they kept the census in America from the mid-1700s. It's nothing to be able to look at those and trace your family right back there, especially if your family came in from the South. It's not hard at all, okay? But they're not going to – listen, it doesn't matter because I don't believe that they'll do this until the mark of the beast is instituted. I believe that once they implement the mark of the beast, they'll say, you blacks, we found out that you descendants of slaves can get all the money you want if you take this. Here's your reparations. And I believe they're going to do it like that because they've already transitioned things electronically. They're doing everything they can to implode the petrodollar where the dollar will not be worth anything, and it'll be crypto spending going forward. And I believe that it's going to be dangled as a carrot on a stick, on a string, until they implement the mark of the beast and say, okay, you descendants of slaves, where do you want me to put your reparations? All right, thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
But see, I'm not putting it out there as some type of scenario in which I can actually think in my mind that they would actually do justice for us. I'm using what's out there in the news, reparations and other things, as a talking point to show you how they politically use us to get everything for everyone else except us. And for the first time, they're going to move it to descendants of slavery, where no other people can benefit from it. And when I see that, I'm like, okay, that's Judah rising. That means Judah is making a statement that even the politicians must respond, okay? Because the last thing that America wants to do is to admit the wrong they did and repair and make reparations and make amends for our people. So the fact that they're even mentioning this is telling you that our people have risen from the ashes and are now a force to be reckoned with, okay? And they're speaking about that right now, folks. It won't be long until we're free, because the last thing they wanted to admit, I wouldn't be surprised down the line where they'll come out and say, you know what, it cannot be held back anymore. The blacks in America are the true Israelites. They are the people of the Bible, and we need to discuss what that means. I won't be surprised, folks, because our people have begun to pull away from the political status, from the holidays, from everything, and they're losing power. And the only power they can receive is what we give them. So they're going to have to acquiesce and try to pull us in into something so that we can believe in the political process again. I'm telling you, the political process is really their key control mechanism over our people. And they was able to trick us with the Obama thing and pull our energy and spirit into the electoral process through Obama. And I believe when we pull back and say, nah, to Hades with your voting, none of that. If y'all not talking about nothing for us, y'all take y'all process. Let the whole thing sink. Let the whole thing. A bird cannot fly with one wing. And we've been flapping like this as a Democrat. I think that when our people start pulling back and say, you know what, they're going to have to start admitting more to try to con us into the process. But still, at the end of the day, I use these political talking points to move it right back to the Bible to show you that the Most High is true in his word concerning the prophecies of the Israelites rising. That it, sooner or later, all of the Gentiles are going to have to come and say, you know what, we've been lied to. Surely our fathers have inherited lies. What can we do? What can we do to have acceptance in the eyes of Israel? Folks, it's coming. Right? Anything you want to say on that, Elder Lawyer, is up to you. Let's see. I only got a few more. I'm going to break down in about 15, 20 minutes, okay? Sanzi has a question. We have a brother. We have a poem. We're going to bring you in one moment. I see you, Sunshine, but let's get some other people in. I see you there. Sanzi, how are you? Judah's rising. The floor is yours.
Shalom, Elder. All you elders. I love all of y'all.
Thank you, sister. Hey, sister, how did you feel when you realized that you were of Judah? What happened when you first understood that? How did it make you feel?
I was glad and I was angry too, just for the simple fact is that we've been lied to all our lives, and when I tell my mama, she didn't know because she didn't know how to teach us. We didn't know how to teach our children. So I don't hate her for that. You understand what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I love the fact to know that we are the true children of God, because that means a whole lot. To me, it does. I don't know about other people, but to me, it does.
Yeah.
So that's why I have changed my life tremendously, and I'm glad that my son brought it to me in the spirit, and I'm glad I saw you, Elder and Elder Loy. I thank y'all for the classes that I'm in. I've learned so much that I never learned before in my life, and I'm 67 years old. I want to get baptized with my son, my grandson, and my great-great-grandson. I hope you can make that possible for us. But, you know, knowing about the 12 tribes.
Hold up, sister. I'm going to let you say this. But, brothers and sisters, you want to know how generational curses are broken? Huh? What you're witnessing, brothers and sisters, is Bible prophecy. It's the phenomenon. This is how generational curses are broken. You have a grandmother, 67 years old, is ready to baptize two or three generations under her. Hold up. And you say you're in the academy, right, Sandy?
Yes, I am. I've been there for the fourth time, and all praise to the Most High. As much as I can, I'm going to make that money come because it's worth it. It's nothing. You know what I'm saying? If I can go to the store when I used to buy me a beer, okay, I sacrifice that for the Most High.
Thank you, sister. All right, let me ask you this. What city are you in? What's it?
I'm in the Columbus, Georgia area. I'm right up from Atlanta. I've been trying to get in touch with you all, And then also on another issue as far as my videos, I've been having problems with that too also. So
okay.
All right,
I have your phone number. What I'll do is I'm going to make sure Baruch gets your information so that you can get baptized and link in with the church with you and your family. All right?
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I have your phone number. I'll have the administration call you to help you with your videos. I probably have AC who deals with the video and production side. He can call you and let you know if you're having some issues on your computer. Exactly.
Yes.
And how to get that working so that you can do the videos after the broadcast, okay?
Thank you, Elder. I'll praise to the Most High, Ahaya. And it's the
okay.
I'll praise to him.
Okay. So if you, thank you. So if you see a phone number, an unrecognizable phone number, pick up. It's probably AC. He's going to help you with the technology. You know, he's a tech guy. He can help you navigate for the academy, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. And thank you for all your support, sister, all right? Thank you.
Thank you. Tawana, and bless you all.
Yeah. Hey, that's what the gospel of Christ does right there, right? It breaks generational curses. 281 area code, Gabaya Allah, Gabriel is on the line. Shalom, Gabriel.
Shalom, Elder. How you guys doing?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya. Talk to me.
Man, I didn't call for anything much. I called basically just to sponsor the brother. I hope you guys have his number. The brother who called about three callers earlier. So he's new in the
world.
Talk
about Joshua. Joshua.
Yeah,
you want to sponsor
him? Yes, absolutely.
All right. You want to sponsor him? Hold on, brother. Hey, Gabriel. Off the chain. Hold up. Gabriel wants to sponsor Joshua. All right, so I'm going to link, I'll link you all together. You can set it up, and hey, you don't want to miss what's coming up in these academies, man. Are you in this one, Gabriel?
Yes, I've been. I signed up just to keep going. So, yeah, I'm in this one.
Man, thank you, brother. And charity covers, the Bible tell you, charity covers a multitude of sins.
Amen.
So, man, thank you for your charity, and I'm sure the brother will appreciate it. And wait till you see what we go into in finding the Ark of the Covenant. All right? We're going to take a different angle. This coming Sunday, we're taking a different angle. The greatest weapon known to man, the power of the Ark of the Covenant. Coming Sunday. Thank you, Gabriel. I appreciate you. You have
one
anything
comment,
else to say before? Okay, go ahead.
I was going to make the comment, but you brought it up about when people try to associate the movement of our people and the redemption of our people with the Ethiopians. It's strange because I spent some time in Ethiopia, and a good amount of them actually will tell you that we are the tribe of Judah, that we are the Jews. I've been on airplanes in Air Ethiopia where somebody will look at me, and this is way back in the day when I was still playing, and they'll say, hey, are you a Jew? And I said, look at them and say, why are you asking if I'm a Jew? Well, because you look like one. Because there are Jews in Ethiopia that look completely different than the Ethiopians that you see normally on TV,
yeah,
et cetera.
Hey, brother, and guess what? That was really the satanic trick bag of what they're dealing with when it comes to ethnicity and when it comes to phenotypes or different types of people. They totally muddied the waters here in America. When you go, let me tell you something. This is what a ham might look like. A ham might looks like, you ever see a real dark East Indian guy?
Absolutely.
Real dark East Indian woman? Those are the original Hamites. They're real dark with stringy hair. With
Iman,
the dark
Iman
lips
is a perfect example.
It.
That model Iman.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the Ethiopians. The Ethiopians are close in proximity to the East Indians because they were ham, just like Nimrod was ham. He would be considered a real dark-skinned Ethiopian or real dark-skinned East Indian or Ethiopian. So that's how they was able to shoehorn us in because of the color of our skin. But there's a clear, distinct difference between the dark-skinned Shemites, who were Israelites, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, and East Indians. They're Hamites, not us. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that out. And it's deep that you heard that. You say you played basketball overseas or something?
Yeah, I played overseas, played in the NBA for like 3 years. Yeah.
And, I've been everywhere. Now, do you notice overseas, they don't hold anything back. They make no bones about it. They'll tell us right out that we're from the tribe of Judah or we're Israelites. But
yeah,
they don't even hesitate. I'm sitting there in Egypt, brother. I'm in Alexandria, Egypt, and I see this Arab dude just looking at me, staring through my, like he's trying to look through me. And it's sad that he wants to learn English because he know there's something going on, right? And then when he learned English, finally, he states that he straight out that they know that we're Bani Yaqub, the tribe of Judah, right? And he was a Muslim. He's a Muslim, pray 5 times a day, go out there with his rug, do whatever he got to do on the concrete or whatever the case is. And
That's the same way to say it in Lingala, in Congo. They say Bana Yashal, the same exact thing. In Lingala, in the middle of Africa, in Congo. Yep.
And listen, he learns English, right, only to ask me this, right? He says, this is what he asked me. The brother name was Wazim, a Muslim, an Arab, in Egypt. Mm. He says, when your people get the earth, can you give me a position?
I don't doubt that for 1 second.
This is what he learned English to ask me that question.
I got so wow.
And I'm sitting there, the lawyer was there. Oh, he's like, listen, when he learned English, it was like, okay. I know why y'all over here, and I know one day y'all going to rule.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, Bani Yaqub, when you get in position, because I know y'all going to be in position. He pointed to me, looking right at me. He says, mm-hmm. can you give me a position? He's trying to move himself in position already for the kingdom, knowing what's coming. And you know what my answer? And you know what my answer is?
What's
I don't
that?
Give no. Listen, Christ gives the position, but hey. Brother, I will remember you. Thank you, my brother. And we over here talking about Assalamu Alaikum, and they over there trying to posture themselves for what comes next. It seems like other nations sees the hope in us going forward, knowing that we're next, and we're blind to the power we possess. The power genetically that we were born with as a tribe of Judah. All right, let me place you on hold.
Okay, bro. Thank you.
All right, Gabriel. Hey, thank you. I'm going to give you a call. I got you right here. All right?
Sounds good. All right, cheers.
All right, bless you. Thank you. Always. I mean, what a charitable, loving brother, man. I really appreciate you, brother. And it's good because most people, they tell you that you gain much wisdom through travel. I mean, it's a joke over here when it comes to... They downplay everything when it comes to our worth as a people. But guess what? It doesn't matter. We don't need no recognition from them. The heavens have spoken, and Judah is rising. All right. Harold has a comment.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom. How are you? How you doing, Harold?
Man, I am blessed by the best. It's been so long. Every time I call, I can never get in, but now I'm in.
You're in. Come on.
I just wanted to tell y'all thank you so much because, man, I was brought in by another sister named Karen, and every time I talk to y'all, it's just like my life is just changing. And I know y'all said when you come into the truth, your world's going to change. A lot of people are not going to be your friends. A lot of people are not going to hang out with you because you're not doing the same thing they're doing. And I'm sitting here watching it right before my eyes, and I'm like, man, ain't this something? But I can tell you one thing. I can tell you one thing. I have a landscaping company, and my sister and her husband, they sit in the car with me, and I just play it. I just put it on. And I sit there and listen to you, and they sit there like, what is this? And so now I brought them into the truth. Just from now, I didn't have to say not one thing. Just let them listen to you. Let them listen to you talk. And, man, it's been a blessing. It's just like everything's just been changing. I know that everything that they're doing is just like, wow. Like everything that's in the world. Every time I hear you talk about something or every time I'm thinking something, you end up coming out with a video with it. And I'm like, man.
Mm.
We're on the same page. This is ridiculous.
Praise the Most High.
or every time you mention something that's about to happen, I sit there and watch it, and I'm like, man, she's on it. And I'm just so blessed to be in to be able to walk the truth with everyone, all my brothers and sisters. And I just hope you continue doing what you're doing.
Well, you do landscaping. You know what, Harold? I'm going to take down your number because what I would like to do is to get other brothers and sisters trained in that type of work. Because what happens is everyone else does this type of work, and our people are left out there with no work at all. When you can easily learn to landscape and get a contract right here in America. You know, and it's work like that will continue. It doesn't matter the circumstance or what's going on in society. Someone's going to always need their lawns trimmed, flowers planted. You can go back and design someone's yard to hook them up with a good landscape, a tranquil backyard or whatever the case is. I don't know how skilled you are, but I would rather give the business to you if you can do it, and train others who can actually just build their own businesses like you have, okay?
Yes, yes, sir. And that's one thing I do. I'm in the Virginia body, so I'm not baptized yet, but that's all I do is I have people work with me for 2 years, and I teach them how to make their own, and there you go. You get your own, and there you go.
Exactly.
That's all.
Because,
I mean, you don't need to be working for somebody else when you can work for yourself.
Exactly. Let me tell you. You get yourself a lawnmower, a nice truck. Get yourself something that can plow. Hey, if snow happened, they call you up, you clear that. If you need to dump something, you can dump that. And guess what? You can have your home business parked right in front of your door and walk. You know what I mean? So,
amen. I was pulling a 14-foot trailer with a 1996 Honda Civic. I was determined.
All right.
I was determined, and I did it. And now I'm there.
Well, brother, I'm going to give you a call because, you know, we have to teach our brothers and sisters how to actually do their own business, to not depend on the corporate structure that's looking to phase our people out. Now that we know, so, hey. Hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to parlay what we have into substance and ideas that can help our people segue off of the jobs, okay? So so that our brothers and sisters know what it is to call their own shots, all right?
Yes,
so,
sir. Yes, sir.
I'll give you a call on that, brother, and, see what we can do to support your business, all right?
Yes, sir, and I greatly appreciate y'all, 100%.
Well, thank you, my
Shalom,
brother.
Ma.
Bless you.
Shalom. Bless you as well.
Shalom. Molly has a question.
Hi, Elder.
Hi. Hi, Molly.
I'm like shocked that I'm on here.
Okay.
I just want to say thank you for one. I've been listening to you guys for a couple years now, and it's just so enlightening. I grew up in the Baptist church, and it's just been a crazy journey to coming into the truth. And it's just, I just feel so blessed to be able to have eyes to see and ears to hear.
Praise the Most High.
It's just, I don't even know what to say. I'm just so honored to be able to talk with you. I think I have one really big question for me is, obviously, in the church we were taught that if we believe, when we die, that we go to heaven. And I've heard many different, you know, ways of this. Obviously, it says in the Bible that when we're sleeping, we don't know anything. I've also heard you say something about Abraham's bosom, and I just was really kind of curious as to if you could kind of direct me into the understanding of that.
Okay, let's start where you left off and work our way back.
Perfect.
Why is it when you're sleeping, you know nothing? Think about it.
Because you're dead.
Exactly.
Well, because,
so,
sleep.
No, so, no. See, you know what? Your first answer was the right answer. That means you have no impact on the living.
Right.
That doesn't mean that your spirit isn't doing something after death. So when you know nothing at all, that was talking about the span. That's the end of life. That's not
okay.
Saying, that's not speaking of your consciousness in, you know, in your next phase of this, which is death. So this is why people use that those scriptures like the Jehovah Witness to say you lay down, you know nothing at all, you're just dead. Nah. You're carried over. If you're in Christ, you're carried over into the bosom of Abraham, which is the bosom of the righteous. This is where not just Israelites are, but Gentiles who have done right in the earth also. Okay? And then if you have scorned God's law, did evil against your conscience, sinned against the laws of God, went against your conscience because your conscience, you violated your conscience because there's a law within ourselves that know right from wrong. If you die without making amends, you are dragged into to a place of torment where the fallen angels are. The fallen angels who were bound since the days of Noah are in the place of punishment. And this is where the souls of the disobedience are chastised until the final judgment.
Wow. Okay, that makes complete sense.
And then Revelations 20:5 teaches us that you must make it in the first resurrection where the second death has no power. Well, why does it say the second death? Because these are the people who died in the earth. And the final death is when Satan and his angels and those who follow them are judged. That's when the whole hell will be emptied and judged. That's right, at the end of Christ's thousand-year reign. That means all the souls of disobedience have been in torment till this time. That's where souls go. And they will be there a thousand years, even when Christ's kingdom, when Christ is reigning on earth, those souls will still be in torment up until the final judgment. But those in the bosom of Abraham, that's right, they're in the first resurrection. In a twinkling of an eye, they shall be changed. And they will rule on the earth with Christ. And there'll be a thousand years of peace. And the only spirits that are left there are the disobedient. Now, it doesn't matter, like I said earlier, sister, not you. I'm just talking in general because I know thousands of people are listening right now. It doesn't matter if people don't believe it. Because you will know what I'm saying is true, one way or the other.
Right.
Any other question, Molly?
A matter of fact,
Molly, week 11 of the Academy, I'm going to be going into, listen to this clearly, the truth of the underworld, the Gentiles' understanding of it, and the Bible's narrative. Because this is not just a Bible narrative system. The underworld has always been taught, even Gentiles taught. I mean, the Vikings taught about ruling and going to Valhalla in honor. The Egyptians talked about moving into the, they would prepare themselves and their souls for their ancestors in the underworld, right? Because their ancestors was who? The fallen angel who was named Osiris. So even the Egyptians were looking to, or speaking of the hierarchy of the Egyptians, had a bloodline to the fallen. Hell always existed. So I'm going to be talking about that in week 11. And the people who want to claim it doesn't exist, don't worry about it. You'll know when you wake up and you're there in profound darkness. Mm. And one of those cats come to violate you. Okay? Thank you, sister.
I
appreciate it.
And I'm loving it.
You love the Academy? Well, Molly,
Week 11,
get ready. All questions will be answered on hell, okay?
Thank you so, right? so much.
You're welcome, Molly. And welcome to the truth. Bless you. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. I'm sorry I have to go to the next caller. You have 3 more minutes. Food is awaiting. 561 area code. Man, we got 2,700 people up in here up tonight. Good. We was up 2,500 people. That's pretty good. We was up with near 27. That's good with being shadow banned. Harold, you have a question.
Shalom, Elder.
Bless you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Blessed by the best.
All right.
I have a question. I really wanted to sponsor Joshua for the Academy, but the other guy beat me to it.
Okay.
So I sponsor people before I want to. I just sponsor 2 more people, random people, whoever you want to pick out. My question is, and I'll hang up after I answer that and let you expound on it. It's going off kind of piggybacking off of what Joshua was saying about Christ's color not mattering. Do you think that it's possible that they made Christ white because they knew that we would see him as a savior, and in today's climate, our people would be more loyal to the Gentiles as far as staying on the job for 20, 30, 40 years and not starting a business of their own, as opposed to if they left the picture the way it really supposed to be, the way the Bible depicted it, we would have seen and been more of a proud people, and we would have been like, we'll support our own. We'll build our own businesses because we are the people, and Christ is this color. Christ is from the seed of Judah. So do you think that has anything to do with them portraying him as Cedric Rozier, a white man?
Well, you know, I'm sure all of those political points you've just made, points of control, I'm sure a lot of that are more so byproducts. Okay, you have a lot of noise in back of you. What's happening there?
Okay, yeah, I'm driving. I'm in the truck, so I'll hang up and let you expound on it. But I want to sponsor 2 people. You can pick them. You can take my number down and call me tomorrow, or I'll get in touch with you, and I'll sponsor 2 people in the Academy, because if they think this is something, then they need to get in the Academy. But
okay,
I'll hang up and thank you for your time, Melvin.
Hold up. Don't hang up.
Okay.
1 second. Okay, Harold. And your name is Harold, and you want to sponsor 2 people.
Yes.
All right, 2 people. All right. Don't hang up. Put your microphone on mute real quick.
Okay.
Okay, great. Now, Harold, what you were asking was a good question. Was it because so that it could be a form of control to keep us where we can work and all these other things? I'm sure those are byproducts. But the Bible makes it clear to why they put up a false image, a white man to be Christ, right? Let me show you, not this. Hold on, let me get it here. The Bible made it clear to why they put up a white image, this false image here, this man such as Bojé to be Christ. In 1 Corinthians 14, I mean, Wisdom of Solomon 14 and 11, it says, therefore, even upon the idols of the Gentiles shall there be a visitation. Because in the creature of God, they are become an abomination and stumbling blocks to the souls of men, and a snare to the feet of the unwise. So the first reason they put up a white image So it would become a stumbling block to the original people, the Israelites. Because now we would deny our own book, believing that this white man was behind it. So now the book, the Bible is the only way for our people to come back. And now we've turned atheists, believing that these people are the Christ, are the Israelites. So the first reason they did it was to make the Bible a stumbling block for us, to make their image a stumbling block, right? We'd have many people reasoning with the Bible saying, well, how can I trust a Bible if the artifices or the authors of the Bible looks like this, looks like this? See, stumbling block was the first reason. For the devising of idols was the beginning of spiritual fornication, and the invention of them, the corruption of life. I'm at Wisdom of Solomon, the 14th chapter, in the 14th verse. For by the vain glory of men they entered into the world, and therefore shall they come shortly to an end. And here's the reason, the 15th verse. For a father afflicted with untimely mourning, when he have made an image of his child soon taken away, now honored him as a god, which was then a dead man, and delivered to those that were under him ceremonies and sacrifices. So they put an image up of a dead man and ascribed ceremonies and sacrifices to this man to do what? To flatter the papacy. See, the Bible actually breaks down the prophecy of them putting up this white image thousands of years before they did it. It says here, for a father afflicted with untimely mourning, 15, when he hath made an image of his child soon taken away, now dishonored, now honored him as a god. This is why they teach this Christ as God garbage in America, because we think this guy is Christ. And by default, the white man is God, have become your God now. And it says here, an image of his child soon taken away, now honored him as a god, which was then a dead man and delivered to those that were under him ceremonies and sacrifices like Christmas and Easter. 16, thus in process of time, an ungodly custom grown strong was kept as a law, and graven images was worshipped by the commandments of kings. Okay, the Romans would send out a sword, they would colonize, set up churches, and guess what? Force those who have been colonized to worship this man as the presto magic new Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 14, I mean, Wisdom of Solomon 14 and 21 tells us the final reason for all of this. And this was an occasion to deceive the world. This was an occasion. They put up this white image to not just to deceive us, to deceive everybody, so that we would then begin to believe that the deceived, the true deceivers are our saviors. You got it, Harold? You can understand.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got it.
There it is. Thank you, my brother.
Water, Elder.
You're welcome. All right, Chase has a comment, and then the brother has a poem. What's going on here? Okay. Did it drop? Am I still here? Let's see. I'll see.
Well, by the vain glory.
Okay, I'm still here. That's good. All right. A few more. And then we'll end it. Chase, where's Chase at? Chase has a comment.
I'm right here. How you doing, Elder Ricardo?
Okay. I'm doing well. After that, we'll bring in Sunshine. Sunshine, you're going to have to cut down your copious notes to 1 minute. We'll give you 1 minute today because time is short and I'm hungry. And then we'll end it with Sam, who has a poem.
Hey,
Yes, Chase. Judas Rising.
Hey, how you doing, sir? I just want to say that I want to tell you thank you, and I appreciate all the hard work you put in and being an example, and I'm just grateful to come along with the ride and get to see Judah Rise, because I've watched it happen for the last 9 years, and it's been really cool. I talked to you before. I don't know if you recognize me. Yeah, white guy, Chase Bigsby.
Oh, Bigsby. that's a famous name. The one who convinced the one who convinced other brothers and sisters. You've taught others so that you've brought other people to the truth. Even you've brought Israelites to the truth.
Absolutely. Right? If they had the ear to hear, man, I was ready to give it to them.
Okay. I guess, like I said, you are the reverse of Dave Chappelle's role. That big
yeah.
You had others call you they would probably try to deem you the white black supremacist. But I'm just joking.
No, it's funny. Oh, I fell out when I first said it. But yes, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you, man, and it's been really entertaining, and gratefulness just for having this information. And every time I get jump in the academy, and I just learn so much, man. I'm very appreciative, and always be here pumping the word.
Okay, hey brother, you on fire? Keep doing what you're doing. I hope to meet you soon, and I hope to see you at one of these Passovers, my brother. All right.
Yeah. I'll have to get with you guys one day. I'm gonna do something like that. All right, Shalom.
All right, Chase. He got one of those soap opera names. Thank you, my brother, Chase.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let you live these names down when we talk. We're gonna have a few laughs. All right. Chase.
I know it. All right, brother.
And these are the days of our lives. All right, let me place you on hold, my brother. Chase, you got to have it going on with a name like that. All right. Sam with the poem. Let's go. As a matter of fact, let's go, Sunshine.
Shalom. Hi. Hi, Elder. Shalom. Hi.
How you doing?
Hi. Do Shalom. How are you, Elder?
You have 1 minute. I hope you tore your notes in half.
Okay.
Start halfway through. Go halfway down and read. Go.
Okay, Elder. This some chord struck tonight is a focus on our people and our way out of the web that the nations have spun around us, and trust and oppression and clinging to it have stayed on. And the way the nations have kept us divided is by infiltrating our communities at every turn, and they among the nations who conspire to keep us underfoot or in perpetual bonds or in generational curses that creep in unawares as friends and comrades and people we can relate to. They do this or connect to our plights. They had individual traumas and they think, or even if they come in as social helpers of our communities impoverished, they come in very different ways on the surface, and they come to us that, you know, but there's always a price in degradation of our communities or some kind of Malachian sacrifice for our children or our legacy. And like when you look at the wells of Africa and the abortion clinics and even the media focus on our highest affected demographic from Wuhan to the ghettos and the need for super support of the so-called black woman as long as it's against her king, while the king himself is hunted and provoked or used. So for everybody, including his own woman and helpmeet, everybody is turned against the men of Judah in laser destruction. And this concentrated aim is like to keep the lion crouched and old, but Christ and the identification of our code that has nothing to do with the other nations and their individual sorrows or molestations or persecutions or plights, you know, we rise. Since our code is the law of the Most High shown in perfection through Christ, it says to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. So as Christ came so that, again, Israel can receive the adoption of sons back into our covenant, us belonging to the covenant, to be a light unto the Gentiles. The focus that we as a nation and all nations should have is on our situation. It must be first for the various Gentile plights come to the forefront, because it's through Christ we're saved, and it is through the righteous men of Israel that these same black men that we are called, that so-called are black men, the men of Judah, the Gentiles can inherit their portion. So by grace, Israel under Christ is the key, and no other cause can be married with ours. And so I just praise the Most High for this truth revealed, as somebody else said. And that's all I wanted to say out there.
Oh. You did it.
Praise the Most High. Ah!
You did it. Thank you.
Bye. Quam, quam.
Hey, man. Hey, you did it. Thank you. Hey. Broke a record. There goes Sunshine. Sam has a poem, and we'll end it with the poem, and then I digress. I got to relax.
Good evening, Elder. Thank you once again.
Okay, Sam. I thank the Most High, because what happened was I was looking for a clock tick-tock, and I was about to have that working in the back of Sunshine, but she did it before. Okay, so I don't know. I shouldn't have to use this on you, right?
Well, it's all right, bro. I'm good. I'm good, sir. It's fine.
I'm saying, how long is your poem?
Oh, no, it's not long. It's two short ones, actually. Two short ones.
Okay, let's do one short one. One short one.
All right.
Because that was what you're hearing there, it was about to go down. It was about to go down with Sunshine. It's all good.
It's all right. Thank you for the opportunity once again. This is Penn Know You.
All right, let's go.
If you forget him, you forget your name. If you forget your name, you forget your place. If you have no place, there is no home. Without a home, there is no refuge. Without a refuge, there is no shield. Without a shield, there is no covering. Without covering, you are naked. At this point, it's easy to pick your part till your soul is consumed. Can you see the work of the enemy? That is it.
That's it?
Yeah, I said it was short.
All right, do one more then.
All right, and
oh yeah, I gotta eat, man. Come on, let's do it.
I got you.
You
this
is rising.
Brother's keeper.
You know what I mean?
Your brother. Why do we act like we don't know one another? Have we ever sat back and wondered? On God's green earth, why do we kill each other? One may argue, well, we are not really brothers. How can you say that when we all come from the same mother?
Mm-hmm.
One may wonder, why do I even bother? Well, it's because maybe I'm trying to see you tomorrow. So I continue to strive and hope for something better, that one day, when it's all said and done, we'll all be together. Your brother. I care because I am my brother's keeper.
Oh, man, that's nice.
And I just want to say, sir, like you've been saying, for me, you know, like you just mentioned, the burden of proof is not on us to prove who we are. Let them just continue to live. One day they'll find out. Because they, for me, I tell them, I'm like, the best thing they need to do is, since they call themselves a savvy businessman, they need one more investment in some knee pads because they're going to need it.
Oh,
that's
Lord,
all I think.
You hurting the game with that. Hey, listen.
Yeah, and I leave
sir,
with this quote, sir. One quote,
yeah,
and that's it.
It's like this. Let me tell you, all of us gonna need knee pads. Let me tell you, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Listen, so listen. I just want to get in, man, and you know that's it. And so the whole thing is, if I have to bow to my Christ, I will. Now, the other nations, they may be a little stubborn. He has it trying to hold their head up.
That's what it is.
It's trying to hold that head up. That hand is trying to... they trying to hold that thing up. I'm like, listen, I'm good. Just let me in. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless. I appreciate the time.
All right.
Yes.
With that... It's been a great broadcast. Thank you for participating, understanding that we are the children of Israel, and that's right. Judah and the 12 tribes of Israel are back. That's right. The Most High is calling back Israel. Stay prayed up. Sin not. We will soon see Zion. I see you, brothers and sisters, this Friday with our special Patreon moment. We're going to do that at 1 p.m., and we have some serious information that you must understand. Hey, they're definitely planning some serious evil against the Israelites all over the earth, and I'm going to be talking about that and more on Patreon. See you. If I don't see you there, I'll see you this Sabbath or in the Academy. HistoryTimes.org. Stay prayed up, sin not. The Most High is calling back his people. We're the Israelites. Yes. And we're back. Bom dia, y'all. Bom dia, y'all. See you, lawyer. Thanks for coming on. Thank you, other lawyer.